Chapter 1. A Vision is Born. The soul never thinks without a picture. Aristotle. What is a vision? Where do they come from? Visions are born in the soul of a man or woman who is consumed with the tension between what is and what could be. Anyone who is emotionally involved, frustrated, broken-hearted, maybe even angry, about the way things are in light of the way they believe things could be, is a candidate for a vision. Visions form in the hearts of those who are dissatisfied with the status quo. Vision often begins with the inability to accept things the way they are. Over time, that dissatisfaction matures into a clear picture of what could be. But a vision is more than that. After all, what could be is an idea, a dream, but not necessarily a vision. There is always a moral element to vision. Vision carries with it a sense of conviction. Anyone with a vision will tell you this is not merely something that could be done. This is something that should be done. This is something that must be done. It is this element that catapults men and women out of the realm of passive concern and into action. It is the moral element that gives a vision a sense of urgency. Vision is a clear mental picture of what could be, fueled by the conviction that it should be. Vision is a preferred future, a destination. Vision always stands in contrast to the world as it is. Vision demands change. It implies movement. But a vision requires someone to champion the cause. For a vision to become a reality, someone must put his or her neck on the line. Vision requires visionaries, people who have allowed their minds and hearts to wander outside the artificial boundaries imposed by the world as it is. A vision requires an individual who has the courage to act on an idea. And that brings us to our story. Once upon a time. Around 587 BC, the Babylonians invaded Judah and destroyed the city of Jerusalem, along with Solomon's temple. This was the third of three campaigns into that region. On all three occasions, the Babylonians took a number of Israelites as captives and resettled them in Babylon. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were taken during the first invasion. About 70 years after the first Babylonian invasion, Cyrus, king of Persia, who had since conquered the Babylonians, gave the Jews permission to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. Under the leadership of a man named Zerubbabel, these exiled Jews returned to Jerusalem and rebuilt the temple. Things were looking up, for a while. It seemed as if Israel was on the verge of becoming a blessed nation once again. But the people refused to turn away from the very sins God had judged their ancestors for in the days of Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar. The temple was not being maintained. Sacrifices had ceased. The Jews continued to adopt the religious practices and culture of the surrounding nations. By the time our story begins, the political, social, and spiritual conditions in Jerusalem were deplorable. Meanwhile, back in Persia, a Jewish fellow named Nehemiah heard about the plight of his homeland, and he felt something. In fact, what he felt so deeply that he wept. And as we will see later, Nehemiah was not the sort of man who wept at the drop of a hat. He wasn't weak, and he certainly wasn't emotionally unstable. But he was burdened, and his burden drove him to a prolonged period of prayer and fasting. See Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4. Little did he know these deep feelings were the initial birth pains of a vision that people would be reading about thousands of years later. The point is, Nehemiah's vision didn't begin as a vision. It began as a concern, a burden for his nation and its people. Building block number one, a vision begins as a concern. A God-ordained vision will begin as a concern. You will hear or see something.